like Jackson Church Christ, and we had the incognito white vans, right? So the church had white vans, but all of our vans were plain and had no lettering or numbering on them. And so there's only a couple of those in Houston, right? And so I remember B was following our van, and it's not her fault. They just didn't put anything on our vans, and suddenly she started following a van that wasn't the Lake Jackson Church Christ van. And she started going into a neighborhood, and I don't really know exactly when she realized this. There's a disturbance in the force, and this is not the right van. But finally she calls me and says, "I'm not following you anymore." And then I thought, what did I do? You know, no, I'm not following you anymore. I'm following some other white van, and we're in trouble. I had a friend follow the wrong car all the way to their house one time, and they wouldn't get out when they got there. They thought they were in trouble. But people follow people all the time, and sometimes we get close and we figure things out, and sometimes we can't. But I want to talk today about our Father in heaven who is in pursuit for you. And we read today Psalm 23, one of the most powerful verses in Scripture, one that many people memorize, that many people can quote, and we're going to look at it again at the end of this lesson together. But there's some other verses that I want us to kind of take a look at this morning. And one of those is this, in Psalm 139, and we're going to look at this today, but we're going to talk about how God pursues us. You know, he knows you, and he still wants you. That's the God that we have. Psalm 139 in verse 1 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." That's a God that we serve, that he knows everything about us and he still loves us. He knows what you did last summer, last night, and last decade, and he still loves you. You know, I think about when I was thinking about this lesson, my mind goes to the story of Jonah. You know, the story of Jonah is here's a man that Jonah was not the man God needed when he called him. Like right then when he called him, he was not the guy that he was looking for. He was looking for the guy he knew he could be. Because when he called him, God already knew it. And his response was going to be to run. But he didn't want Jonah's perfection. You see, he wanted Jonah's willingness. And he knew him. He knew what his response was going to be, and he still called Jonah. That's good news for us, right? That we have a God who knows us, who knows every thought that goes through our minds. And it's illustrated several times in Jesus' ministry, like in Luke chapter 5, when the paralytic was lowered down in front of him, and he tells him his sins are forgiven. And then all of a sudden, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees started thinking to themselves, the Bible says, "Who is this man? Only God can forgive sins." And the Bible says, and Jesus answered their thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. He knows everything that you've done, everything that you've hidden well, everything, every cover-up that has worked for you on earth. God still knows what you did. And God loves you and still wants you. You can't run from God. He is in pursuit of you. Jonah thought he could go as far as the trade route could take him, to the very end of the world as he knew it and understood it. He's thinking, "I'm going to get as far away as I can." But God planned him a little 3-day retreat, a little deep sea fishing, right? That was a good one. I thought it was, and when I wrote it, he realizes that he can't run from God. Probably for me, one of the most powerful parts of this story is that God was after Jonah even though he knew he was going to be unwilling. You know? He's like, no, this is the right guy. Could you imagine the conversations, the angels maybe not understanding, and he's like, I'm going to call Jonah. And they're like, you see what he did? You know Jonah. He's not the one. And yet God still chose him. God knows you and likes you anyway. That's good news, amen? With a God who knows all things, you have no reason to run from him, because he loves you even when you are running. And when he came to earth, he was to be called Emmanuel, God with us, right? God with us. He is here. He lived with us. He walked among us. Look at this verse in Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Doesn't matter where I go, it says, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle at the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. That's a God who pursues us, who knows us, and we can't get away from him. Doesn't matter where we go. In the depths of the sea, Jonah found God, found a deeper relationship with him, right? You can't run or hide from him. If you're hiding in a wine press from the enemy, like Gideon, he'll still call you. It says when you're acting like a shepherd instead of the prince of Egypt like Moses, he's going to call you. And if you're hiding in a cave, feeling sorry for yourself like Elijah, he's going to call you. Even if you're off mission fighting God like Paul, he's going to call you. Because that's the God we have. It's not about you. It's about what he did for you that matters. Amen? Because he wants to change your life. This is not a sermon about he wants you to stay the way you are. He's in pursuit of a change in your life. He's in pursuit of a new heart. He's in pursuit of changing your steps and changing your walk. But he is willing to do work himself. In Luke chapter 15, there are little stories about being lost, right? And one of my favorites there, and I've mentioned this before, is the story of the woman who had those coins and she lost one. And it says that she swept her house until she found it. The work was not being done by the coin at all. The work was being done by the coin owner. Our God is sweeping this earth, trying to find and let us shine so he can put us in the service that he wants us into. Amen? Right? He's wanting to do the work. Some of us, we all know ourselves, and we know there's work to be done, but God is willing to do that work. He's willing to be with you, walk with you, take these steps with you. That's the God we have. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7, it says this. I'm going to read it from my paper here. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths of the sea, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. The roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you, your holy temple, in your holy temple. That's the prayer Jonah had in the belly of this giant fish, right? Seaweed is wrapped around my head. Can you imagine 3 days inside of an animal being taken to the very depths of the sea, the pressure, being, you know, being given, and then the pressure being released as the whale or the big fish would come up for air. Can you imagine being inside of that for 3 days? And in the middle of that, he could have been thinking to himself, why are you doing this to me, God? See, I knew, that's why I didn't want to follow you, right? Some people have that response when they go through difficult times. But the response that God knew was going to happen was he would say, I remember now. I remember now who I'm supposed to be. And that's the very moment that God was able to use him. If we look in Psalm 139 verse 13, it says this, you know, and what I want you to understand is God is at work in you and at work on you. 139 verse 13 says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. See, that's a God who knows us. He designed us. He made us. And he made Jonah. Jonah was placed in timeout, but was not just punished. As we read his prayer, you could see that he was finding God and finding and feeling the pursuit that God had for his life. The work that was being done in his life and on his heart would impact an entire nation. Nineveh would never be the same. God is not passively watching from a distance, hoping that you make the right choices. He is in pursuit of your life and skills. After all, he made you just the way you are. So stop worrying about what you can and can't do. Because God made you and loves you just the way he created you. I love Psalm 23. What a powerful verse, passage of scripture. And one of the things that you can do when you hear a same verse over and over again through your life, you know, and you have it memorized, sometimes it becomes like what old hat, you know, you can say it and it doesn't have that grip that it used to have, right? And you maybe you need to look at it with fresh eyes. And so sometimes I find a different translation and I read that different translation, or I find a paraphrase just to see someone's heart, what they got from that passage. And one of the translations that I found of Psalm 23 that really impacted me was a Jewish translation called the Tanakh. I think that's, or the Tanakh, it's Tanakh, one of those phrases, I'm not exactly sure. But this translation of the Old Testament is revealing, especially for me in Psalm 23. And so I don't walk through it. I have it on the screen, but I want to walk through that with you guys this morning and look at a few of these phrases. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, that sounds familiar, right? I lack nothing. There's nothing that I need apart from God. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to water in places of repose. He renews my life. That's the God we have. He guides me in right paths as benefits his name. When Trenda was little, we'd have the same discussion every time I drop her off. And I've probably told this before, but I had three rules for her. And I would ask her to tell me what the three rules were as I dropped her off. So what are the three rules? And the three rules were keep private things private, keep your hands to yourself, and remember whose name you're carrying. And one time I said to her, well, whose name are you carrying? She said, mommy's. And I was like, traitor. No, I'm kidding. I said, well, how did mommy get her name? I don't know how mommy get her. I gave it to her. And then we gave it to you. And you're carrying our name. When you go to your friend's house, that's our name. When you go to school, that's our name. But then when she became a Christian, it was a different story. Whose name are you carrying now? You're carrying Christ's name. And every path that we take, God is pursuing other people, and he needs you to do that. He wants you to carry his name. In this passage here, he says, he guides me in right paths as benefits his name. So his name goes forward. That's a God who leads us to these places. Look at this verse. Though I walk through a valley of deepest darkness, not if I walk. Not, I wonder if it'll ever happen. It is a, though I walk. Though right now I could be walking in through a valley of deepest darkness, I fear no harm, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. And then this next one really sticks with me. Only goodness and steadfast love shall pursue me all the days of my life. Let me just pause for just a minute. Pursue. What's the word that we normally use there in this part of this passage? Say it. Follow. Do you agree with me today that the word pursue is a stronger word than follow? Follow is like this passive thing, but pursue is, I'm after you. And see, that's the God that we have. And what he wants to give us is steadfast love, right? And goodness. The world gives us the garbage. Sin, the result of sin is death and sickness and sadness and terrible things. But the good news is that with God, we can get eternal life, and he is after your heart to change it so you can get that. He wants to give that to you. Goodness and steadfast love. Love changes things, right? Love is at the heart of the fruit of the Spirit. There's a reason I believe that Paul used it first when he was given, you know, the passage says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You know, that's how love is at the root of it. And if you take that passage, you can almost set it up side by side to 1 Corinthians 13, what we call the love passage, right? And it says that love is patient, love is kind, love is, it's the same thing. Love is at the heart of everything. Love is at the heart of the law. Love is at the heart of the reason he came here. Love is the reason that he pursues you. Love is at everything that we need. Love is what helps you overcome differences in someone else's life. I was talking to the students in my class at the school, and I was telling them about, I said, y'all heard the phrase, love is blind? And they said, no. And I said, we all need culture, you know? I said, so let me tell you about this phrase, love is blind. I said, what that means is this. You ever met somebody, and the first time you met them, you thought they were goofy looking? Okay, I got an amen on that one in the back there, okay. Yeah, and probably me, but anyway, so until I got my hair cut and then everybody liked it. So, but you know what I'm talking about? You've met someone and they're just a little bit goofy looking, right? Fast forward a couple years when you get to know them and spend some time with them, they don't look goofy anymore. You know what I'm talking about? That's what love does. Love changes the heart. And that's the kind of love that God wants to plant in each one of us. That's the kind of love that he has for us, where he looks past the things that we fail in. He looks past the garbage and the luggage that we try to carry around with us. And he says, my love pursues you. My heart pursues your heart. And I want to change your life. That's what God wants to do. And he made it personal. He made the relationship that he wants with us personal. And this is what I mean. In the Old Testament, you ever notice that every time, and we were talking about this in Wednesday night class, like three or four times, you know, God was telling Moses, tell him that I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You know that phrase. It's over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament. Old Testament, see, it was like God was at a distance in their minds, and they were like, oh, and he is worthy of all of our worship and honor and our shoes off and our head down, our hands up, whatever it takes, right? And yet in the New Testament, when doubting Thomas told his brothers, listen, hey, you know, in Christ, he said, I'm not gonna believe unless I see his scars and touch him with my own hands. And then when Jesus presented himself to Thomas, what was his phrase? My Lord and my God. So we have a God who knew that we needed him. Who knew that we needed him to walk among us. Like the one writer that I read who said this, he said, God made man in his own image, recreated himself in our image so that we could truly see the image of God. That's the God we have. He's a God who his pursuit and his love for us is so strong that Philippians chapter 2, he says that he made himself nothing, becoming the very form of a servant, a bondservant. You see, he became a slave to the love that he had for us, because that's the power that changed the whole world. That's the power that changed your life. That's the power that changed my life. A God that pursues us so much that he walked with us and had the same feelings that we have, the same hungers and the same pain, and pain beyond anything any of us can even imagine, right? He did that for us. And so he made it personal. He made it real. And that's why we can sing, my Lord and my God. And not just, he's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, which he still is, by the way. But he's also the God of us, the God of you and the God of me. And he proved it through his pursuit for us. You've probably seen an officer following a car flying past you before as you pull over, first thinking it was you, right? And you saw the lights, oh no, you know. And then it's someone else and you're like, oh, go get him. You know, you've had that. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. When that little red Corvette goes right past you and then you see him pulled over later and you're like, ha ha, I got what you deserve, right? That's just jealousy talking. Okay, so let's move on from that. But that pursuit, I want you to picture that when it comes to what God wants to do in your life. He's going to turn on all the lights. He's going to make all the noise he can. He's going to rattle every tree. He's going to do whatever he can to shake you out so you know that he is here. If it took, you know, Jonah going into a belly of a fish for 3 days, and it took blindness for Paul on the road to Damascus, right? And for us, sometimes it takes us just opening our eyes to realize God is after you and he has done so much for us. Last week, we talked about gratitude and how you know, we've been forgiven so much so we can forgive other people. But listen, the gratitude that we have, this salvation that we have is because he came to earth, because he walked among us, because he paid that price, and because he's in pursuit of us. My hope this morning is that I've said the word pursue and pursuit enough for you to think about it the rest of the week. That every day you think about how God is after you. Now, when I was a kid, that meant something totally different. Because, like, right, how many of us kind of had that feeling that God was after us? In other words, he wanted to catch us doing something wrong because he's really mad and he's got to get somebody. Right? You know what I'm talking about? There's those moments where you kind of felt like, oh, God is after me, but he's after to catch me. It's not what he wants. We have a God who wants to catch you, but not like that. To catch you like fish. He's a God who wants to put your picture on his refrigerator. He wants your artwork on the refrigerator. He wants you to wear his name. That's the God that we serve. Only goodness and steadfast love shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for many long years. This morning, I don't know where you are spiritually or where you are in your walk with God, but maybe you've been running. The good news is you don't have to run, because God is right there. And I love the story of the lost sons, right? You had the one son that comes back finally, and his father saw him from a distance and ran. You know, God is certainly sitting on the throne, right? But I'm going to tell you right now, he's running after you. Open your eyes and you'll see it. If you need him in your life, if you need to walk with him, or you need to run to him and stop running away, we'll pray with you and for you. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Wear his name. Clothe yourself in his son's name through your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Whatever it is we need to serve you in, come now together. We